glory, his divine story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Size Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, the love of our lives, the wind beneath our wings, the beat of our hearts, and the one who is also the Bharat Bhagya Vidata, or the one who shapes the destiny of the great nation of Bharat or India. Sai Ram and good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Thursday Live and to Morning Glory. You're tuned to our Asia stream and we are coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe, on this very special day that we are celebrating here in Bharat. Today is the 26th of January 2017 and it happens to be the 68th Republic Day of India. The current time in the ashram right now is exactly 44 minutes past 9 a.m. that is Indian Standard Time. The current temperature outside the Radio Sai studios is 23 degrees Celsius. We are currently experiencing lows of 18 and highs of 30 degrees Celsius. Dear listeners, right now, as we speak, the grand and glorious Republic Day celebrations are about to begin in the nation's capital, New Delhi, where the weather conditions are rather nippy right now. The President of India, Shri Pranab Mukherjee, Indian Prime Minister, Shri Narendranath Modi, and the guest of honor this year, the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi, Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed, along with thousands of others, including dignitaries, diplomats, ministers, key officials, and members of the public, are about to witness glimpses of the rich culture, modern development, spiritual prowess, and military might of the Indian Republic at Rajpath in the nation's capital. On behalf of Team Radio Sai, I would like to extend very warm Republic Day greetings to all our listeners from the grand and glorious country of Bharat. By the way, my name is Karuna. I am honored to be your host this morning as the Indian Republic celebrates its 68th birthday. Well, it so happens that the universal teacher to humanity, Bhagwan Baba, stressed very seriously on responsible citizenship as part of the human value of right conduct, or dharma. Patriotism and civic consciousness, therefore, form the cornerstone of his education in human values program. Hence, all Sai educational institutions in the Divine Valley and across the entire country are having grand and impressive flag hoisting and Republic Day ceremonies today in their respective campuses. Mine began rather early, whether you believe it or not, because at 6:45 at the Sri Satya Sai Mirpuri College of Music, we had the flag hoisting ceremony where we hoisted the tricolor Indian flag, and this was followed by a fantastic music program by the students, the very talented students of the music college, who glorified the great nation of Bharat and its heroes and cultures. Similarly, all the heads of various schools and university campuses have already done the same ceremony in their respective areas and paid due respect to the Republic of India and its sacred insignia, the tricolor flag of India. On that patriotic note, I'm happy to inform you that today I have lined up for you a mega dose of Sai experiences on the show. And I know our listeners love those. So first we will continue and conclude our ongoing Fleeting Moments interview with Mr. Pavan Kumar of Singapore. And this will be followed by a brand new episode of Triswit Divinity with Mr. Hari Ranjan Rao. But these inspiring interviews have both been conducted by my colleague, Brother Bishop Pushti, and I assure you that you don't want to miss a minute of either of them. And as always, we will be looking forward to your feedback to both these interviews by email at listener@radiosci.org. And since today's Morning Glory will take up an extra 10 minutes past 11 a.m., I'm going to bid you Sairam right now and wish you an awesome Saisam day ahead. And may our grand nation of Bharat awaken to its great true strength and live out its glory, which is often forgotten and overlooked. And by the way, I haven't forgotten and overlooked what I had promised to announce this morning on the show first thing, but because of time constraints, I'm holding myself back. I wonder if you remember it, dear listeners. If you do, email me. You know where to find me, karuna@radiosci.org. With that, please enjoy the show, and Jai Hind, and Jai Bharat Mata, and Jai Sai Ram.
Oh, but such a profound experience. I think through all these little instances, when you think, he has given such life lessons.
Yes.
Such life lessons.
See, the lessons, you have to see in what way he is teaching, as a mother love, or is a father strictness,
yes,
or it's antaryami where he is,
yes,
speaking for you, or is,
yes,
a Jagat Guru. You know, you have,
yes,
to... You have to,
yes,
you have to see in those angles.
Yes.
See, Jagat Guru example, I'll give you one example. What experience I had was like 70th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Swami was giving gifts. Swami was giving clothes to everybody.
Yes.
Right? 70th birthday. Like,
and
Swami,
the whole 2-3 months was only giving.
Giving. Swami was like literally giving. Every day we know that something is giving.
Some distribution.
Some distribution. And whole of the Prashantan Ilium got clothes. And we, the Vrindavan boys, the birthday finished, everything is over. Around 25th or 26th, we were supposed to leave that day from Parthi to Vrindavan. Because I was doing my BCom then, 70th birthday time. And we were sitting in the morning darshan, and Prashantan Ilium boys did not come. Only Vrindavan boys were there. And Swami came during the bhajans. Swami came to the lower portico. That time Kulwant Hall had come up already.
Yes.
And Swami came to lower portico, and I was sitting in the first row, and Swami told me, come here. So I went close to Swami. Then Swami said, can you look at the third pillar? Then I was thinking, genocide, third pillar. So I was just, I followed Swami's eyes direction, so I also looked at the third pillar. You see the Swami's eyesight, and you know how 70th birthday I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And third pillar, one person was sitting, one old man was sitting,
mm-hmm,
okay, and I said, yes, Swami. Swami told, go and find out whether that person has got clothes from Swami or not.
Oh. Wow.
And if you, I think you must be knowing that person also, he was the person, he used to wear the blue apron in, mm-hmm, South Indian canteen, and after everybody finishes, what his duty was to take the broom and sweep away the leftover, food particles or whatever, you know, clean the table so that the next batch Sevadal can put the plates.
Mm-hmm.
So his duty was only that. And he used to be always in the blue apron. So by looking at his face, I understood, okay, this person is South Indian canteen who works always and is always angry because people don't get up. Even people, you know, keep chatting even after, you know, eating the food.
Mm.
So he used to always, you know, be a little bit angry and upset that why are you chatting? Please finish and go because next batch have to come. Because unless until I clean and sweep, other next batch cannot come.
Mm.
So I immediately recognized he is the person. Then I went to him. I asked him. Swami was inquiring about whether you have received the clothes, new clothes, from Swami or not. And he responded, Sairam, no sir, because I was busy in doing service in canteen, I could not find time to come and take the clothes from Swami.
Oh.
I mean, entire South Indian canteen staff has come, but he has not come.
Oh, wow.
And I took that message back to Swami, who was waiting in the corridor. So I told Swami he was busy in service, he could not come and he did not get the clothes from your hands. Then Swami went inside and Swami got pair of new clothes, you know, in the packet. And you see the Lord's love. Swami could have just given to me and told, go and give it to him. Swami told, ask Sevadal, give it to him. Or canteen in charge, go and give it to him. No. Swami walked.
He walked?
He walked. All the way to the third pillar. Swami gave clothes. Swami gave prasadam, padnamaskaram to that person. and he came back.
Wow.
You see the lesson, you know, like when you do a service of Swami, he will take care. He knows what you are doing. He will come to you. You need not wait. He will only come to you. You just do his service.
I think if our service is really for Sai, then Sai himself will come and serve you.
He will come.
Sai will be there all the time. I think you should never ever have that feeling, I'm doing so much, is Swami, does Swami know, does Swami recognize, you know. I think when Bhagwan was in the physical form, people used to have these doubts.
Correct.
Sometimes, you know, does Swami know that, you know, I'm serving so many, this many hours, and will I get that recognition? But I think all those who have sincerely served, they have experienced his love in abundance.
Abundance.
And he has made them known that how much he loves them.
Yes.
And I think for them that one moment is enough. They don't need that Swami should talk to them every day. That one moment is enough to inspire them for
yes,
for years together.
Ages, I should say. Ages.
Yes.
So I remember like in Kodaikanal, Professor Sampath sir was accompanied us during that trip, and Swami, and he said, Swami, you know, our janam, pichle janam ka punyam, that we are sitting at your lotus feet.
Because of the merits, yeah, of our previous births.
Previous births. Swami said, not one birth, many, many, many births, okay? Then only you could come now.
Oh.
So you require so much of punyam or tapasya to come to Swami's lotus feet.
Wow.
Don't think that you have done only last year, last janma, only something good and you have come. No. So Swami is waiting, you know, for you to do all those good deeds and services so that you can come to him.
Wow.
So let's not take it for granted.
Yes.
You know, it is not that we by choice or by, you know, by chance we have come here. No. Like Swami has waited for you to, you know, accumulate and then come at his lotus feet.
Wow. And I think, as you said, we cannot take anything for granted. Everything we have to take by gratitude, you know.
Yes.
In gratitude. Everything.
Everything.
I think only when you take everything in a spirit of gratitude, then you understand the value of it and then you build on it.
Yes. See, now after the physical form, now it is more important for us to think back and introspect and see what we can do to be connected to Swami.
Yes.
You know, it is like a bank balance, you know.
Yes.
The grace is like a bank balance. Ensure that it never goes zero or negative.
Yes.
I always feel in that way, you know, being a banker, I don't want my grace to be zero or, or, you know, minimum balance you have to maintain.
At least.
If not, you know, things cannot work. Because yes, every step I always feel, let me do something good so that, you know, at least 1 rupee can go into a bank account.
Yes. We have to build enough merit so that we can be eligible to receive his grace.
Exactly. So it is because many people are doing many, many things, you know, like if you don't do anything, then one day it is not going to, you know, be sufficient.
Yeah.
If something comes up, if your grace balance is not
enough,
then I don't want to be in that situation. So that's why I always...
We always feel that we need this much of account so that we feel comfortable and secure.
Correct.
Financially secure.
Correct.
But more than financial security, what we need immense in our life is the security of His grace.
Grace.
And for that, you really need to do good. I mean, that's the perspective with which you lead your life.
Exactly. See, I always feel, when I am in Singapore now, you know, it's all Swami's grace, you know, like it's not that I have done something, I'm not a gold medalist, I'm not a something genius that, you know, I have got O grades.
I know.
No. And in fact, to be, you know, very point blank, I got 3.47 GPA, I could not get my MBA here.
In Bhagwan's University, you could not continue here.
I could not continue.
You did not have enough percentage.
Enough percentage.
In fact, so, I didn't tell you this, but this is what was going on in my mind, you know, as I was introducing you, this is a thought that was going on in my mind, that Pawan is someone who did not have enough GPA to actually do, you know, even apply for MBA in Bhagwan's University.
Yes.
But still, today he is Assistant Vice President of Standard Chartered Bank and he's in Singapore doing so well. I mean, it just... It is His grace.
His grace. Because I never thought I could reach to this level, at this level. And it is because of His own, you know, love and grace and affection which Swami is showering on me, which I could continue like this. So, Swami said, you do my work, I will do your work. So, I ensured that I will do His work first.
Always.
Always. That is more easy and important for me. Then He will take care. You know, I still remember my first day trip to Singapore.
Mm.
TCS told me that you have to go to Singapore for 6 months.
Mm.
So that my first assignment overseas. And I was thinking how I am going to go to Singapore, you know, what challenges I will face.
Mm.
I understand, you know, overseas very competitive market, you know, because more Indians are there.
Mm. So, and they are all very brainy.
Very, very brilliant. You know, people come from IIT, IIMs, yes. You know, people are having, you know, much, much experience. So, I was just a local, you know, kind of Mumbai. I had a Global Trust Bank and an HSBC I worked. I was saying, how am I going to compete with them?
Mm.
And first day I landed in Singapore. Around 11 o'clock, I went to my TCS guest house.
Mm.
And so in the email, we had a confirmation saying that nobody will be there in the guest house because people have gone to office.
Mm.
The key will be there on the door, you know, the way the shelf is there.
Okay.
So you have to pick it up and then go inside and take bedroom number 3. Okay. So it's a triple bedroom apartment. Bedroom number 3 is yours, allocated. Okay. So I went, I picked up the key, opened the door. And I stepped inside. Lo and behold, I see Swami's photo.
Oh, oh my God.
I see Swami's photo there in the TV cabinet. Then I inquired the cook whoever is there. I asked whose photograph, which bedroom boy has put it. Mm. He said, sir, bedroom number 2.
Mm.
Okay, fine. So luckily bedroom number 1 person has come for some work. And I asked him, who is this bedroom number 2 boy?
Mm.
Can you give me the contact number. Then he gave me the contact number.
Mm.
Then I was so curious, you know,
yes.
I have to know who is this person who has kept Swami's photo. And first assignment to Singapore and Swami is my companion and a friend, right? And he's there.
Mm.
But I wanted to know who has put it. Then I called up the person, bedroom number 2 person.
Mm.
I told brother, like I saw Satya Sai Baba's photo. My name is Pawan Kumar. I studied in Puttaparthi, 11th standard. Then later on, I did my BCom. By any chance, you know, do you interact with any of the school or institutes or anybody? May I know who are you are?
Hmm.
The voice comes from other side.
Hmm.
Sairam, brother, I was your junior, Ashish. welcome to Singapore. We'll catch up in the evening. I know you, but you don't know me, but I know you very well.
Oh, wow.
Then, you know, the kind of a tension I had, you know, yes. What is going to happen, it has just melted away. And I finished off my, you know, activities and I went to office. I went and told my boss and my boss was sitting. I told, sir, I have reported today and he said, okay, very nice, very nice. So that is your seat. You take the cabinet there and go and sit there. I said, okay, sir, I'll catch up with you later in the evening. So when I turned back, and just opposite to him, I see Swami's photograph.
Oh, amazing.
With a group photograph of one of the Singapore dancers or some team which has come.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously you are curious to go introduce yourself, right? So I told Sairam, sir, I see Swami's photograph and, you know, team. I said, yes, Sairam, yes. We are from Singapore team. We have went to Prashanti for doing performance. And Swami has given us a group photograph. So then I introduced myself. I said, sir, I'm ex-student and everything. So, oh, very wonderful. Very nice. Then, what happened then? It happened to be a Thursday. Then he asked me, what are you doing?
Hmm.
I said, sir, nothing. So he told, Thursday, let's go for bhajans. I will take you to the samiti. Mol means samiti.
Hmm.
I said, okay. So we wound up our office day one. All is on day one itself. Then I finished my work and I, along with him, I went to the Mol means samiti, which is the main center of Singapore, Mandir. And in Mol means, what they do, 7:30 to 8 is Vedam.
Okay.
And 8 o'clock is the bhajans, 8 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the Mol means Mandir, what they do is Swami's altar is there. Beside Swami's altar, they put a huge screen, display screen, how we have here in Kulwant Hall, where they put the lines of the bhajans and meaning of the bhajans also, so that foreigners can understand the bhajans, meaning of it. So, when the Vedam is going on, what they do is they put the Swami's saying
okay.
You know, 2-3 sayings and just keep it as a frozen slide.
Okay.
So that people can follow the Vedam and whatever it is. Then when I removed my shoes and I was stepping into the Swami's Mandir, I see the first saying, I am there with you always, wherever you go. You know, in you, with you, around you, above you, below you. So this was a saying which was written on the Swami's, the slide. So I just, I sat for bhajans and the tears were coming out. You know, like Swami had shown me a nice companion in the office. And a Mandir Swami has already given the Abhayahasta grace.
Wow. And in Mandir, he's letting you know that, hello, I am the one who is doing it, in case you have any doubts still.
So from then onwards, my journey started, where it was supposed to be 6 months assignment. It has taken 6 years.
Oh, wow.
Now it is 7th year.
In Singapore.
And wow. That's how Swami is, guiding me and we had wonderful sessions in Singapore and many of the old students. And in 2011, after Swami's Samadhi has happened, and we were literally dejected, what has happened to us, and it's Swami's wish or Swami's will. So we wanted to conduct the Prema Bandham kind of a event. And that time, because 2009 I came to Singapore, and 2011 all this happened, and 2012 we wanted to start the Prema Bandham event. As the old students get together, get the moral support and everything. Then we knew only 15 students were there in Singapore. We could count and get the names or contacts. But we wanted to conduct this event, Prema Bandham. And they were asking me, the organizers, are you sure that we have enough number that we can conduct the students' event as such? First time in Singapore.
Hmm.
I said, sir, Swami's grace, sir, we can do it. Not a problem. And lo and behold, on the final day, on the event day, 50 students have turned up.
Oh.
50.
You didn't even know that.
I didn't even know that. And we just put few Facebook, contacts, and we have published the event. And some nowhere, we said, Sairam brother, I heard that old students, event is being organized. I'm working here in this office. Can you take my contact number? Can you add me in your Facebook group? So we have created a old students Facebook group in Singapore group, and when I started adding it, the count came to 50. right from primary school passed out to the institute and Anantapur also, everything. And the best part was, two boys have come only for office visit on the day of to the Singapore, and they were staying for the event.
Oh, only for that event.
Only for that event, because their office was finished, and because I told event is there, they have postponed their flights, and they came and spoke in the event, and then they left.
Oh, wow.
And Swami arranged for speakers. Swami arranged for, the singers. Swami arranged for instrumentalists. Everybody. All of them were there. All boys. It's like a mini Prashanti has been exported from, from here to Singapore. And we had a full-fledged 2.5 hours music program with speeches, experiences, wow, along with the lunch. And 1,000 people have come that day to attend the event.
Wow.
And still it is continuing.
Every year
we, in the April, we continue to do Prema Bandham event in Singapore.
Wow. It's such a powerful moment, when we reconnect with all those brothers. I think it just infuses you with so much of energy to work for Bhagwan.
Correct.
And in fact, as you were narrating about your tryst with divinity in Singapore, the way Bhagwan welcomed you to Singapore, I was thinking, that's how it has happened all your life. When you came to Prashant Nilayam, also the first darshan you got 1.1. Bhagwan was there welcoming you as one with a million mother's love will welcome you. And it's the same that he is doing it all the time.
Yes.
He did it in his physical form.
Yes.
And there he is doing it even though you cannot see him physically. Yes. But he's all the time doing it.
He's always there. You just need to open your heart, pray sincerely. He will do everything.
When I think about it, see, whatever experiences he has given us in the physical form, those are just sort of glimpses, or say one clear demonstration, maybe one example of what is going to happen in your life again and again.
Correct.
That was sort of a one very clear manifestation.
Correct.
One clear example. And you know, we have to constantly, I think we'll just see that repeat in our life in so many ways.
Definitely, definitely. See, Swami always, the sincere prayer is important.
Yes.
And once you do a sincere prayer, I think Swami will definitely answer anywhere, some point of time, somewhere or other, some, you know, kind of a form or some experience, some a dream or whatever you call it. You know, my child, I was feeling, when Swami was there physically, Swami should do Akshara Abhyasa, you know, like Swami should write Om.
Yes.
In the
initiate the child into education.
Education, right? So, I was just pondering on that point because I wanted to do Akshara Abhyasa and I was thinking if Swami was there physically, so nice, gone to Prashanti,
mm-hmm.
you know, sat in the old block. If Swami, you know, comes, maybe we can give this slate and then. And I was just pondering on that point. At that point, you know, one day I was in the office and suddenly my wife calls me and she says, I think there is a, looks like a Om has come in the, when she was doing chapati.
Okay.
Dough. Okay. When she is doing a chapati dough and suddenly Om has appeared there.
Oh.
I think it is Om, but you all are, you know, very much into Swami's, you know, everything. Can you just see? I said, okay, send me the photograph of it.
Mm-hmm.
And she clicked the photograph and she sent it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I could clearly see the way Swami used to write Om, right, on the slate.
Wow.
Exactly in the same form.
Wow.
And, and I went home and she made a chapati out of it. And we gave it to my child. And, you know, Swami did Akshara Abhyasa, you know, in this way.
So amazing. In some way, I think if you miss him, he will ensure that he fills you.
Yes.
With him. Wow. And brother, before we move forward, tell us something about your Kodaikanal days.
Okay. Kodaikanal days, I should say, our batch, 12th standard batch, we were writing a lot of letters and everything to Swami. Swami, please take all 12th class boys to Kodaikanal. And Swami said, yeah, chustam. First you all write exams and everything. And Swami had, in fact, taken highest number of 12th class boys in that batch, in that Kodai batch. And we were around, if I'm not wrong, around 35 to 40 students went that batch. Yeah, that was the highest number of batch.
12th class students went?
No, not 35. 35 overall.
Overall.
Batch. And 10 of the
12th class students
have went. Such kind of a high number a never went actually.
Earlier you had the, of course, the lot of MBA students used to go. But not from school, there would be like one or two boys,
right? Yes. So, but our batch, at least, if I'm not wrong, 10 students were there selected for Kodai batch from 12th standard. And we stayed almost for 33 days in
Kodai. Wow, that's also a huge stay with Bhagwan in Kodaikanal.
Right?
33
and,
days.
And that batch, we had, you know, very nice batch, I should say. Like all the seniors were there. Photographers were there. Musicians were there in that batch. We had a lovely time in Kodai, actually, our batch. And Swami has created almost 50 creations.
Oh, you saw?
Yeah, we saw 50.
So every day, maybe more than one amazing creation you were seeing.
50 creations, we had photographs. Some of our senior brothers have them. 50 creations. You name it, it's like a record, like, you know, our batch was like record. Number of creations, number of highest boys, number of highest days, and number of trips outside we went along with Swami. And a lot of drama also happened. And Swami was very upset also.
It's part of the whole learning process.
Just to give you highlights of it, was we were in Kodai bus and we were all sitting in the bus. And Swami came into the bus and Swami was just chatting. Swami looked at the driver of the bus.
Mm-hmm.
I think then Swami's car driver,
Mr. Padmanabhan.
That time he was still not Swami's driver.
Okay.
Okay, the incident what I'm going to tell, he will remember it when you ask him.
Okay.
Swami, he was sitting in front of Swami and Swami was sitting in the chair and we all are just sitting here.
Behind.
Swami looked deep into his eyes and Swami said, you have one wish.
Mm-hmm.
Swami told, you have one wish.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami said, no problem, you ask.
Mm-hmm.
You ask, no problem. He said, Swami, I want to drive your car once.
Oh.
Once at least in my lifetime, you sitting behind.
Oh, wow.
That point, it started, you know, he became the Swami's car driver from that trip onwards.
Oh, wow.
When he came back, he drove Swami half the way from Kodaikanal Hills to Coimbatore, I think. And then later on, he continued to be Swami's driver.
And he continued till the last.
Till Satyajit's brother came and again, and yes. Later on, he started sharing with him, right?
But he was there till Bhagwan's physical sojourn, he was there.
See?
But that one pure wish.
Pure wish. And Swami, he asked one, but Swami gave him like, see the chances Swami has given him.
Wow.
And Swami knows the wish, inside wish of yours.
Yes.
He did not tell. Swami told, you have a wish, you tell me.
You tell me.
So that was eye-opener for us to
Everything he knows. And see, I think, when I think about it, he knows everything that is happening within us. But if there is something pure, he wants to encourage it.
Correct.
You know, there is something, so many things which are not so good in us also. He suppresses that, and whatever is good in us, he encourages that.
Correct. Very much.
And then he multiplies that.
Multiplies it. Very much. So you ask for one, he has given you plenty. So,
wow.
But one should be a pure.
Yes. Pure, one pure desire.
Without any selfish or anything attached to that.
Yes.
That is important. So, just to give you another instance, like one of the creations, Swami has created Kanyakumari in Ostad.
Uh-huh, okay.
You know, in the bus, I think every time Swami creates this, right? And the best part was, everybody had seen, then we thought Swami will give somebody or Swami will do something, right? Swami said, do you want to see how it is going to be vanishing?
Mm-hmm.
We said, yes, Swami. Then Swami took the nose stud like this and Swami said, all of you carefully see.
Mm.
Okay, I will not repeat it again. So everybody was looking at the diamond, the Kanyakumari nose stud. It was such a big diamond it was.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami said, Swami took in his palms and he just threw it like this.
Just threw it in the air.
Just threw it in the air. And split of a second it vanished. The person who was sitting opposite Swami, he was like waiting to catch or, you know, might be Swami throwing to him to keep it. So even before he could get to that moment, it just vanished in the thin air.
Wow. Well, so I think that's what, I remember those instances when Swami used to show his hand and ask, what is there?
What is there?
You know, and you say nothing, then Swami would say, in this nothing, there is everything.
Yes.
And that everything around you, there is actually nothing.
Nothing.
But in his hand, there is, even though it seems nothing, there is everything.
Everything is everything. Even when we had Ram Navami in Kodaikanal, and Swami created the beautiful Rama, Lakshmana, Sita statues of ivory carved.
Oh, wow.
Ivory carved all Rama, Lakshmana, Sita. Then Swami created and then Swami put it for a display. Then Swami said, where there is Bhagwan, there is Bhakta. Where there is Bhakta, there is Bhagwan.
Mm-hmm.
Swami said, how can I forget Hanuman?
Oh, wow.
Then Swami created Hanuman. Then Swami kept Hanuman in a sitting posture.
Mm.
And like at the lotus feet of Rama. Then Swami created a small Hanuman statue and put it there.
Wow.
And it's a lesson to be learned.
Yes.
Know, like, Bhakta and, you know, Bhagwan.
I mean, the Lord will never forget you.
He'll never forget.
If you are devoted to Him, He will never forget you.
He'll never forget. So every incident what Swami showed us in Kodaikanal, there was a lesson. Like, you know, He used to come to us, teach how we should serve the guests. How we should serve Rasam. That time, you know, then Chief Minister Channareddy had come actually, Andhra Pradesh. And he had come along with his family and everybody. And Swami told like, boys should serve properly. And he came and instructed how we should serve and how we should behave in front of them. It's really a close proximity lessons to be learnt with Bhagwan.
Yes, I think you learn everything. Table manners to sitting manners,
yes.
To speaking manners, to dressing manners.
Correct.
Everything.
Everything. And, you know, the Swami, you know, the lessons are like, it's for lifetime.
Yes.
It is not for, you know, for that moment of, say, a jolly good time. No, it is for lifetime. You need to, you know, capture it in your heart.
Yes. Such amazing moments. I think you can just, I think there cannot be a dull moment in our life if we just, whenever we connect to Bhagwan, isn't
Definitely.
It?
Definitely.
He has filled us with so many moments.
See, Swami always says, don't keep castroil face.
Yes.
You know, there is no way we should keep our castroil faces.
Yes.
Because Swami has given so much of experiences, like, you know, when you just close your eyes and think of them,
yes.
automatically your face will be like a thousand bulbs shining.
Beaming, yes.
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 You know, so we need to spread the joy.
Yes.
Okay, and we need to understand and importance of what Swami has given the chances. And share and
yes.
live in those moments.
Yes.
Follow the instructions
yes.
and then carry on.
Yes. Wonderful. And in fact, you know, when you share, it is, these are not experiences given to one person. I think each person is just one medium. And Swami has given humanity these experiences. You know, when you share, I am becoming alive to that moment. And I'm sure, I think so many people who are listening to this are also becoming alive to that moment. And we all share that joy of living with in the presence of someone so inscrutable and so beautiful.
Correct. So he's a living example for us. You know, we have to follow him, you know, like strictly. Because he lived it in that way, he showed us.
Yes.
And he's asking us to follow it.
Yes. And I think once you follow his footsteps, I think that's how Bhagwan said that if you want to do his Pada Puja, we have to follow his footsteps.
Yes.
And if you walk on that path, and I think as you have seen in your life, you just have to take only one step. One sincere step also, he is there.
He is there.
Taking 99 steps to fill you with joy.
Even the career side also, Swami will take care. You know, like
yes.
we cannot say that, okay, Swami does not know about, you know, what my day-to-day office work. What
yes.
is he going to take care of?
What does Swami know about investments? Will he
nothing
help
like
in this? Yeah.
See, one just recent example I'll give you. Like, I came to Singapore in the June and 5 projects were selected for this year's, you know, kind of a live. And out of that, my project, one project for me. So I was thinking, okay, fine. I was doing my sincere efforts in my project. And out of 5, you know, 3 projects were scrapped.
Okay.
Okay, in the middle of the year.
Oh.
So rest left are 2 projects. Out of 2 projects, one project has you know, gone not able to make it to the complete go live kind of
okay.
a thing. So left is only my project.
Oh.
I was feeling, Swami,
oh
what is going to happen to me? You know, this is the first project I am taking care, you know. So kindly help me and everything. And lo and behold, you see the Swami's love. Like my project was selected as the new product which has been rolled out in Singapore. And we have something called a technology fintech kind of exhibition. And it was displayed there.
Wow.
And you know, in nowhere, like it became a complete highlight. And who is taking care? Mr. Pawan is taking care.
Wow.
For others. But for me, deep inside, I know I am not taking care. It is Swami who is taking care.
Pawan is just an air.
Air.
He is nothing.
I am nothing. So, in that way, when I look back and see, okay, what am I doing? I am doing my regular seva. I am listening to bhajans. I listen to Radio Sai. You know, bhajans I hear. When I go home also, I hear to Radio Sai. And I always be connected to Swami. I see all the Prashanti live programs
oh.
when I go back. Okay, my body is there in Singapore, but my mind and heart and soul is in Puttaparthi.
Wow.
And Swami is taking care of my part in Singapore. Like my image, my work, everything. So that's
wow.
why I leave it to Swami. You know, just do your 100% duty. Let's give it, surrender it to Swami. He will take care.
Wow. I think if you can do service, surrender, and be simple, I think, then Sai is there. I think SSS.
Yes, and be silent.
Be silent.
That is also important.
Yes.
SSS.
Yes. And be silent. Then I think Sai takes over completely.
Complete. See, we don't want any, we don't want 10 people to come and recognize you. You know, if Swami knows, that's enough.
That's enough.
We don't want any other external stamp or certification or anything that, okay, you have done a wonderful job or anything. You know, if Swami is happy, That is enough.
Whatever is needed, if anything has to come to you, he will give it.
Yes. See, the sports meet is the best example. We all do put on efforts only to please Swami.
Yes.
So absolutely, that is the biggest lesson we should draw from sports meet.
And life is a game.
Game, yes.
All the time. You have to be very sportive. We are all kinds of people everywhere. And it's not sometimes easy.
Correct.
Isn't it? Pawan, if someone were to ask you, you know, it's really not so easy to follow Swami's teachings. Actually, when you go outside, you know, there are all kinds of people and a lot of challenges. It is not a smooth environment like in Puttaparthi that, you know, you can follow Swami's teachings. What do you think, to how much extent can really one follow Swami's teachings, and or should be sometimes, is it okay to, you know, compromise because it's a practical world and you can't really always, you know, walk on the path of truth and righteousness? What is your take?
See, as you put in, like, corporate world is something different, you know, like, but always Swami is told, you know, you cannot always oblige, but can always
speak,
right? So that is the first thing, is your speech.
Okay.
And you need not be aggressive, you can be assertive in what the point you want to put it across. Thirdly, with humility and with your open-mindedness to hear other person's views, if you go in that mode, in that path, I think other person also will understand that, okay, this person is hearing to me and is listening to me and he has valid points with him. And that's the reason he's coming out with his opinions. So we can always give your opinion to other people. You know, whether they follow or not follow, it is a different issue. If somebody forces you that you have to follow the instructions or directions, what I will say is, sir, I will follow because you are my boss. Okay. If not, my second thoughts are this. If you are able to sit together, I can make you explain, understand why I don't want your way, but I want my way to be there. This has happened live in my projects also. You know, even my project manager sometimes says, Pawan, I think you are not following my instructions. I said, sir, I will definitely follow your instructions because ultimately you are the project manager. But hear me out of my thoughts. There are some ways we can solve the problem together rather than taking one path and we don't have the other option to turn back. So we have to have the options with us and so that we can follow it to a successful goal. If in case you are not agreeing to my opinions or my thoughts, kindly I'll follow your instructions. So that's not a problem for me. So many of the things when I talk to them like this, right, they understand. They said, many times they say, thanks for your, you know, right time you have addressed this issue in this way and which we are able to get to a goal in a faster way rather than wasting the time.
Wow.
So we need not compromise, but we can always put forward our opinion and then see, let's wait for, you know, we don't know, you know, Swami can play a role there.
I think we don't have to be overtly skeptical about the world being so negative.
Correct.
I think the world is not so negative.
Not so negative.
And if you have the right approach, if you are humble and if you have the patience and if you see the other person also as someone who is understanding, you know, we don't have, many times we paint the other person negative. All are not so negative.
Not so negative.
And they may not be negative all the time or with all the people.
Correct.
I think people respond differently in different environments. And I think if we are someone who can encourage the positivity in the other person, maybe things will not be all that bad.
Definitely, definitely. So you need to give chance to others.
Yes.
And interact with them lovingly.
Yes.
That is what is important. That is what Swami had shown.
Absolutely.
Right? See, all the people who have come to Prashantaralayam are not devotees. And Swami has interacted many of the government officials, many of the office bearers. But how Swami has never shown a different way, right? Like, you know, Swami had shown the same loving way.
Yes.
Even though he is not a devotee, even though he is officer.
Yes. He will give him the same love.
Same love.
Yeah. And that's how, that's what touches him. Because I think in everyone there is that spark of goodness. And I think when you operate from that space of, you know, trusting the other person, of believing in the positivity of the other person also is sort of encouraged to respond from that space.
Correct.
I think then the world is not really that difficult a place to follow Swami's teachings?
Not at all, not at all. See, in fact, some things I feel rather than going to a Sai devotee, some other people are doing lot many activities. You know, they have very good spirits, activity, seva and goodness. You know, they contribute to, Mother Teresa trusts and everything. Yes. I still remember one of my friend, he has one girl child. And every birthday, he doesn't celebrate birthday with friends and in all those people, you know. He just goes to a Singapore, there is one old, old homage.
Okay, old age home for
old age home for, Singapore people.
Singapore. Okay.
He goes there and he pays $600 and he serves, he does Narayan Seva, literally.
Yes.
But we are using the word Narayan Seva, but for him, he does not even know that it is Narayan Seva.
Yes.
He just goes, takes the cake and goes there and celebrates along with that old people and give them the food and come back.
Okay.
And no Sai background, no Narayan Seva background, nothing, but see him.
Yes, I think, and there are so many people like that with beautiful hearts around. And I think if we are open, we will only connect with so many such hearts and we will see so many such hearts.
I think we should never be impressed that only Sai devotees only are good.
No, I think everybody is in that sense, I think, very difficult to say who is a devotee and who is not.
Exactly. We have come to that stage now.
Yeah, because as Bhagavan said, you can't say he is an atheist or he is a theist because ultimately, there is no one who does not believe in love. Everybody believes in love. Everybody needs love. And love is God. So I think the world becomes a completely different place once you have that perspective. Then the world is just one family. And it's a beautiful family. And I think once we have that perspective, then it is not all that so hard to actually follow Swami's teachings. I think with time, you will realize that it is actually easy to live.
Correct.
It makes your life actually much smoother.
More smoother, yes. The main thing is ego should not be there.
Yes.
You know, once you keep ego under your control, rest of the things are...
Everything
will fall in place. The main thing is ego you have to cut.
Yes.
Because you cannot say that, okay, I will stick on to my words only, whatever I tell is correct.
Yes.
But that is not always true.
Yes.
You need to...
Be humble.
Be humble.
I think once we let go our ego, then we let God in.
Yes.
Then everything else falls into
everything
place.
Everything falls.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Brother Pawan. I think it was such an enlightening session. It's always so beautiful when you go down the memory lane and, pick up those pearls. And, what you have shared today is just a glimpse because you've spent five very, very precious formative years of your life and which has shaped you and continues to shape you. And perhaps we've got a glimpse of that now, and it is for us to now ruminate on the beautiful moments that you shared, that you had with Bhagwan, and be more determined to walk on the path. Just this morning I was thinking that all it needs to convert every emotion into devotion.
Yes.
Is you just need the determination and the discipline.
Correct.
Then we can convert literally every emotion into devotion.
Definitely, definitely.
And I think if we can convert every emotion into devotion, then life is a celebration.
Yeah, very nice.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Brother Pristu. It's really a Swami's blessing. I offer this humble pranams, that he has chosen me to be at his lotus feet. If not, I don't know what life would have taken me, at what stage I would have been. And it's been true for our complete family. We should say that every devotee who has come to Swami's lotus feet had seen a good days only, but not the bad days.
Yes.
When he goes into flashback and he comes to the present, he will say that I'm loving present more than the flashback because those days I was not connected to Swami, but now his life has changed.
Yes.
So that is a living example for each and every devotee. So
yes.
I think we should be grateful that Swami has chosen in this avatar to be at his lotus feet.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Sadam.
Tune in to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to Tryst with Divinity, our series of conversations with people who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan. And today, we are fortunate to have in the studio someone who has not only been touched and in fact submerged in the love of Bhagwan, but also has submerged many others in his love. Someone who has been a towering inspiration to hundreds on how to love God, how to experience His presence in every sphere, every act and every moment of our lives. Today is July 12, 2016, the inaugural day of the glorious World Youth Festival in Prashantinilayam, where 3,000 young hearts have converged in this sacred hamlet to celebrate the joy of having Swami in their lives and the satisfaction of dedicating their lives in His mission. All of them this evening were blessed to listen to someone who has been there and done that, and done it with so much joy, confidence and satisfaction. The extremely humble, soft-spoken, confident and calm Sai bureaucrat, Mr. Hariranjan Rao, IAS. When he finished his inspiring talk, which was delivered with so much conviction and passion, I'm sure every youth there felt, "Swami, please make me like him. I too want to be an instrument in your hands." It is indeed His grace that the world youth from all over the world had the opportunity to listen to Him today, and our privilege now in Radio Sai to have Him again for this special episode of Tryst with Divinity. Even as we wait to begin this conversation, let me just take a minute or two to share a little about Him by way of introduction. Hailing from Madhya Pradesh, the central state of India, Mr. Hariranjan Rao was an illustrious student right from his school days. He was the topper in the entire district in his 12th grade. Later on, he went on to do his bachelor's in electronics and telecommunications from SGSITS Indore, a leading institution in the state of Madhya Pradesh. Then he moved on to the prestigious Indian Institute of Management, Bangalore, for his post-graduation in public policy and management. Keen on serving the country, he cleared the most coveted IAS challenge and became an officer of Indian Administrative Service in 1994. Since then, for 22 years now, he has served in various high-profile positions in the government of Madhya Pradesh. He has been a district collector, additional commissioner, commercial taxes, and project director in Urban Development Department of the government of Madhya Pradesh. Currently, he is the secretary to the Chief Minister of Madhya Pradesh in the departments of Tourism and Public Service Management. He is also the Managing Director of Madhya Pradesh State Tourism Development Corporation. Well, that's a very brief introduction, because he has held many positions in this illustrious career in public service, being a member of several board of governors of esteemed institutions, as well as Managing Director and Chairman of many initiatives of the state of Madhya Pradesh. But if you ask him his greatest accomplishment, I'm sure it would not be anything other than being an instrument in His hands, in whatever capacity the Lord gave him to serve society. With great gratitude to Bhagwan for enabling this episode of Tryst with Divinity, I welcome you, sir, to the studios of Radio Sai.
Thank you, Prashti. At the lotus feet of Divine Bhagwan, I put my humble pranams. And I think you have been rather too generous, and I don't think when we are sitting in Radio Sai, such long introduction is needed. Suffice it to say that I am a Bal Vikas student, and as rightly pointed out, yes, I am proud to be an instrument in the hands of Swami.
Wonderful. Your words only make me feel that my introduction was still not enough. But congratulations for this wonderful talk this evening. It was so inspirational.
Thank you very much. I think it was Swami who spoke, because when I was thinking of jotting down my points, I really could not think of what all to come, what to say, what not to say. So, as I always do, I finally told Swami, "Look, it is your job." So, then life becomes easier, you know.
Yeah.
So, when you always leave it to Swami, then He makes your life easier. Mm. So, I'm really touched, I am delighted, and I am grateful to Swami for giving me this opportunity to speak here, because speaking in Sai Kulwant Hall in Prashantinilayam is like every Swami's devotee who comes here. He loves to listen to speakers here. And if you are on the other side of the crowd and you are going to speak next to Swami Samadhi, I think this is the biggest honor one can get in life.
Did you think you are going to be part of this World Youth Festival? When did this happen and how did this happen?
Well, I think it happened only around a month back when I got a phone call from Brother Gopi.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, All India President has desired that you be part of the team. So I said, well, I'll be very happy, whatever way I can contribute. I think it started with my services to be hired for doing the translations.
Oh, really? It started like that?
And
translation from English to Hindi.
English to Hindi, because I'm from a Hindi-speaking state and I did my schooling in Hindi, so I can claim that my Hindi is fair enough for at least translation purposes. Also because I have been translating Professor Anil Kumar's speeches to Madhya Pradesh delegates whenever it comes to Prashanthi Niliyam.
Mm-hmm.
So that much of little bit of past experience helped. But no, I'm in a lighter vein. I was also advised and asked whether I could come. I said I'll certainly come. It's an opportunity the Swami is giving. I would never like to miss that. So that's how I'm here.
So actually you initially thought you will serve as a translator and Swami made you a speaker.
Well, I think I'll still do the translator's job. Because I
know. Given what you are. But, you know, the reason why your talk was so inspirational is because it came with so much of conviction. It came with so much of passion. And I want to ask you, you know, how and when did this rock-like faith and conviction in his divinity happen?
Well, Brother Pushti, actually, I almost, I would say, opened my eyes in Sai fold.
Mm.
Because my parents joined the Sai movement in, I think, late 70s. And I was a child then. And so I had come to First World Conference, then Second World Conference,
okay,
with my parents and my aunts who were then living in Mysore. So coming to Puttaparthi has been a very frequent phenomenon for me. And more than that, I was a Bal Vikas student. My mother was my first Bal Vikas teacher. So faith in Swami and rock-like conviction, as you beautifully portrayed, comes because I have lived this way right from my childhood. And that's what I feel, that Swami and his infinite love has been firstly part of my life. Everything else has come later. So I did very good in my schools. I did my engineering. Then I got into IAS. All this is later on additions. So you can say that all this is actually by Bhagwan's grace that I have achieved all this. Or this is one of the many things that happens to one's life. But you are essentially Swami's child. That is something which is fundamental. So I think that's the reason for the conviction.
Wow. So you were born into a family and into an environment where Bhagwan was revered as God, and your parents told you he is God, and you just believed and was in that mold and in the frame of mind you grew up. But as you become a teenager, did it never ever occur to you that, you know, this is what my parents have been telling me all the time, but I think I should also on my own just find out who this person is? It never occurred to you. You just had that faith because your parents told you, you believed in him completely right from your childhood.
Well, I never doubted or had this thought that I should be inquiring myself, because I was also myself experiencing the Swami's infinite love.
Oh, you were already experiencing.
So, I mean, I was coming to Puttaparthi. I used to do seva as a small child. I remember when in one of the world conferences, the gathering was in the Hillview Stadium.
Mm.
In those days, even the Hanuman statue had not come up.
Yes.
And so as a small child, I was given a responsibility. In fact, I volunteered and I was given the responsibility to, you know, serve water, drinking water, because it was very hot and the devotees were sitting in the open sun. And So like a small monkey, I was running around taking a small bucket because I could not lift the large bucket. And in that small bucket, I would take water from a tap near the hostel and then run back. And while doing this, suddenly when I came back towards the hostel to fetch water, Swami's car came there, and suddenly Swami stopped his car there. And he just lowered his window and he looked at me and gave me such an infinite smile I froze there. And I was a very small young child. So I think when you start getting grace of Bhagwan at this age, you don't have a reason to doubt. There is no question of doubting anybody. And secondly, why should I doubt? Is there something wrong which I should be doubting about? There is nothing wrong. The divinity of Bhagwan is established, and I never found reasons to doubt. Also because when I grew up and I went to college, I did have a lot of friends of mine trying to distract me or trying to tell me that I was, you know, archaic, or I was, you know, trying to be irrational by believing in all this. But I think I stood my ground, because I didn't find what I was doing was wrong. And in fact, I was not doing anything wrong. I was doing good things. I was in Swami's fold. I was attending seva activities. I was attending Bhayavika classes. Whatever I was learning was something good that I was doing. So there was no reason for me to go wayward. And I'm sure parents have a major role to play in this kind of conviction.
Yes. Amazing. I think it is, as you very beautifully said, because Swami has already started so much love, you start experiencing His love. So there is no reason for you to at any point in time have any sort of reservation about accepting Bhagwan as divine. But, and as you very beautifully also said, it is, and most important thing is the upbringing of that family that you had, the parents that you had, and you were in Balvikas. But, you know, going back to your college days, and I think at that age, it's really difficult trying to follow everything that you've learned in Balvikas. But was it really difficult for you trying to be the cool guy, or you never wanted to be that cool guy? You know, when you're in the college, there's a lot of peer pressure to do many things. And when you try to follow everything, there are points in time when you perhaps stand out of the crowd, and you sort of become the odd man out. Did you have any such moments and you know, felt very difficult time to be a Balvika student?
Oh, in fact, most of the time, I was odd person out, but for good reasons. My steadfast faith in Swami was so visible that all my friends sort of had a respect for me. So they knew that I'm an outlier, I don't belong to the general crowd, but they never put me in a outcast category. On the contrary, I was always consulted when they had some senior things to do. They thought that I was the right guy to talk to. So, there are instances, for example, in my hostel, and this is how childhood association with Swami helps, you know. In my hostel, we didn't have drinking water. And there was no water, so there was panic. People didn't know how to go about it, how to get there, fetch the water. There used to be one waterman who would come in the morning, and then he would fill up waters in all the rooms, in pots. So I very, very innocently, I picked up my jug, I went to the bathroom, opened the tap and filled up my jug, came back to my room, put vibhuti in it, and I drank. Now my friends who were watching all this, they were quite aghast. They said, "What are you doing? This is not the potable water. This is a water to be used for the toilets." I said, "I have put vibhuti, so therefore I don't have to worry about it now. I have drank." So, you know, these kind of eccentricities of mine, well established that I cannot be, you know, I cannot be taken to the path which the conventional wisdom thought that a youngster hosteler in an engineering college should be doing. In fact, some kind of moral strength and courage that I had with me always stood with me to the end. For example, in my college days, whenever there used to be fights or disputes among my friends or colleagues, hostelers, they would come to me as if I am an unforeseen judge. So not that I had any law degree, but everybody thought that if you go to Hari, there will be fair play. Now the sense of fair play was because I was a Swami student, nothing else.
Yes.
So because that's ingrained, if you're a Balvika student, you would not like to do things wrong and you would like to stand by the right things.
Yes.
It's just a question of your training.
Yes.
So nobody forced me to smoke or drink. On the contrary, anybody who would smoke in the hostel would avoid my presence because they would feel ashamed to smoke in front of me.
Wow.
But I was a good friend of everybody. So, in fact, I still remember one of my friends who unfortunately is no more. He died in an accident. So one day he said, "Look, Hari, I am very depressed today and I want to go and have a drink. Will you accompany me to the bar?" I said, "Well, if you want me to accompany you to the bar, I will come, but you know that I don't drink." He said, "I know very well that you don't drink, but I want your company." So I said, "Then let's go." And I sat with him in a bar, in a very shady kind of a bar near the bus stand where he was drinking beer and all kind of stuff. For 3 hours I sat with him. I was drinking Nibu Pani and he was drinking, having his beer and the hard drinks. But he was pouring out his frustration or his family problem with me and I was just giving him company. So, you know, if you are strong from the inside, you don't have to worry about these things. But ultimately, what's the fault of my friend? I mean, he's into that habit and he wanted my company. So I thought, let me just give him the company because if that gives him some soothing effect, if he's happy being with me, that's okay. He's not in any case forcing me to drink with him.
Yes.
So, and that's how I happily enjoyed my college life because I was part of almost all good parties where others would drink and I would dance, but I would not drink, that's okay. But I would have the better part of the fun, except the thing which I thought was not proper for me. So I think this kind of clarity really helps. One doesn't have to feel really under pressure to get succumbed to such things. I'm not smoking not because I don't like smoke. I'm not smoking because I don't think it's right. That's all. Matter ends.
And you don't also go about judging people.
Not at all. Yeah. First of all, one should not be judging people. Secondly, it's my conviction. So I don't want to go and preach everybody else that, look, you are a fool because you're smoking or you're drinking. That's not fair.
Yes.
I mean, everybody has to have their own way of learning things.
Correct.
I'm convinced, therefore I'm not doing it. But I don't want to judge anybody else. So, all the people in the hostel who used to drink or smoke, they were either my friends or my very good friends or my colleagues. And even today we have very, very good relationship, family relationship. That doesn't mean that I should be judging the person by habits.
And it's not only that you don't judge, but you also help.
Yes, absolutely. It helps.
Yes.
You know, I have learned, and I think in my college days, my conviction grew further, that the biggest strength one can have is the inner moral courage, inner moral strength. If you are morally strong inside, you can be like rock solid steel. Nothing can be done to you. Nothing can be done to you.
Wow.
And that helps. That helps in life. See, very soon people know you. And once they know you, they will not mess with you.
Yes.
And they will start respecting you.
Yes.
That is what I have seen in my life.
Amazing. And that happened in the college days and perhaps in this also.
And it grew stronger
As
I gradually came into my job and all that. So, yes.
Amazing. I think this is a journey which everyone who's on the moral path comes to that point where you initially it is uncomfortable, but later on you are respected so much for what you are that only adds your determination to be what you are.
Yes. I went to for an Air Force interview when I was doing my engineering final year, and Short Service Selection Board, they call it SSB.
Yes.
And in the interview they asked me, so I cleared all the initial rounds of aptitude tests, mental and physical, everything. Finally there was an interview round. So they asked me, "Gentlemen, do you have any question to ask?" So I asked them, "Well, is it possible for me to survive in Air Force without being corrupt?" That was too blunt a question, I guess.
Oh my God.
But the gentleman who was chairing the committee, he said, "Yes, it is possible. And you can certainly be a proud officer without having to indulge in any kind of corruption." That was over. When I came back, I went to my hometown And to my disappointment, my mother was hospitalized then.
Mm-hmm.
So straight away went from railway station to hospital. But she was better. And she was sitting on the bed and my father was sitting next to him. And I told them that I have been selected in Air Force. So they were very happy. Tears started flowing down their cheeks. And then my father asked, okay, what transpired? How did your selection go and all that? So I told them about this question that I asked in the interview. Believe me, my father stood up and he picked me up and he hugged me. Wow. And he said, I am really proud of you that you could ask this question in an interview. If you have that kind of conviction, you will go far in your life. So somewhere I think if your parents give you that support, and if they tell you that, look, this is the right path, you further go stronger in your conviction. That's what is important.
Wow. Amazing. So there was this desire to serve the country?
Yes.
The Air Force was to serve the country?
Yes, certainly. You know, I did my schooling, early childhood schooling from Saraswati Shishu Mandir, which is again a schooling system in which patriotism and respect for the nation is drilled down to you like Bible. And then, of course, Bal Vikas at home and my parents, both who were very devoid devotees of Bhagwan, and both of them were very patriotic. And my grandmother, maternal grandmother and grandfather were freedom fighters. They had gone to jail. They had worked with Gandhiji in Mysore. So all this had an impact on my mind, young mind, as a child. So doing something for the country is something which could come naturally. But I don't think it's unnatural. I mean, I would say more than half of the children of this country would like to serve the nation if given a choice.
Yes.
Because that is what we teach in our schools. We teach them about Bhagat Singh. We teach them about Chandrasekhar Azad. We teach them about heroic, you know, deeds of Maharana Pratap, Shivaji and all that.
Yes.
So every child would like to, you know, become idols like them. So it was not unusual for me to think in those lines. And still I had chosen to become an engineer. So I would have in any case landed up as an engineer. And still I would have served the nation. And again, the notion that serving in the Indian Air Force or in IAS is perhaps the best way of serving the nation is wrong. Because every human being can contribute to the nation, is contributing towards the nation.
Yes.
The only question is whether he is being, he is realizing it or not, and whether he is proud of it or not. That's the issue.
Yeah, I think everybody is doing it in some way or the other.
Exactly. And therefore, every citizen of this nation has to be proud of being citizen of this country and being able to contribute to the society. Yes.
If they feel that way, perhaps their productivity and their inspiration to do whatever they're doing will be higher.
Absolutely. And not only that, if they are doing something which is going against the ethics, which is going against the interests of the nation, it will curtail.
Yes.
The moment you start thinking about the nation building, that's how the nations are built. You know, the fabric of a country depends on the moral values of the country.
Absolutely.
Right? And how do you get the moral values of the country? When every citizen obeys those moral values, then only the country will have a value.
Correct.
So it doesn't make a difference only when few people are trying to change the system. It doesn't happen. Every citizen has to feel like that. So I'm personally of the view that when the child is getting educated, child has to be told that contribution to your country is one of the tasks that you have to do before you die. As simple as that. So if the child is very clear, for example, he would not like to avoid taxes because he would know that this is something which is going against my nation.
Yes.
And so on.
Yes.
And so on. There are hundreds of things that we can, we do end up doing every day in our life unknowingly. If we are made conscious of it, we'll hesitate. Isn't that?
Yes.
We go and watch a patriotic movie. We come out for next couple of days. We are pretty patriotic.
Yeah.
And then we don't do things which we normally would have done.
Yes.
So it has an impact.
Yes. Yes. I think the spark is there in everyone.
Absolutely.
It just needs that environment for it to blossom. And really put into action in more enthusiasm. But after you did your engineering, as you said, you know, you could have contributed to the country in many ways, but you chose to do IAS. What was the motivation? This was the only motivation that you thought IAS will give you more opportunities to serve the country?
Yes, because when I was in my college, final year engineering, that is the age when almost all the students start thinking about their future career plans.
Yes.
Some few of my colleagues were going to IIMs and do MBA. Some of them were planning to write GRE and go to foreign universities for pursue their post-graduations. I, for one, was wanting to do something directly for the country, perhaps. Therefore, I went for Air Force selection also. And after consulting my seniors and some professors, just got to know that perhaps Indian Administrative Service provides more opportunities. So I tried to write that exam and I finally succeeded.
So before that, you also did your public policy and management. It was in preparation of that.
No. Actually, public policy and management course in IIM Bangalore was done after I came into IAS. It's an in-service course.
Oh, okay.
Which was sponsored by Department of Personnel and Training, Government of India. It's a good course. I stayed in IIM Bay campus for a year. And I did it 7 years after I joined the service.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So IAS was very clear. You wanted to do IAS after engineering.
I wanted to write the exam.
Yeah, and then leave it to God.
And leave it to God whether I succeed or not. And by His grace, I did succeed.
Yeah. So all this training of building this moral character, this moral fiber in your student days and especially in your college days. Once you moved into a government service, how easy or difficult what it was to preserve this? Because I think now the challenges are much more and the kind of situations you're dealing with are more complex.
Okay. I would rather give this answer in a more elaborate manner. One distinct advantage of being in Indian Administrative Service is that you cannot be lured so easily or forced to do something wrong if you don't choose to. So when I joined the service, I was a sub-collector, then I was an assistant collector and then an SDO. So you don't have to do anything wrong, physically, literally. And nobody will ask you to do things wrong. And if somebody even expects you to do something wrong, you can just put your foot down and say, no, I will not do it. Because you have the job security. Being an IAS officer, you cannot be thrown out so easily unless and until you commit mistakes or you do some grave error. But if you take a stand, which is justified and correct, nobody can touch you.
They can only move you.
They can only transfer you, which is a small thing. If you are mentally prepared. When I joined my service, my first boss told me this. He said, look, you are part of a service in which you have almost immunity from everything. And if you take stand in your life, nothing will happen to you. Just be prepared to get transferred 100 times. That's all. If you're not worried about getting transferred, nobody can touch you. So I took that lesson pretty seriously. And I got transferred a couple of times, quite early also. But that's okay. It's a very small thing. One doesn't need to bother about it. This is an advantage, perhaps to an IAS officer or any All India Service officer, which will not be there to everybody who enters the government service.
Correct.
Because if you are entering at a lower cadre, then if your seniors are forcing you to do something wrong, you will find it difficult. But I think this distinction only ends here. Beyond that, again, your internal conviction helps. My own belief is that if you decide to take a stand right from the beginning, you start making a mark for yourself. See, people will know that you are not the kind of person who would get into this. And then they will just leave you alone. That's all. And if you are good at your work, if you are efficient, you will still be very, very useful into the system. Are we trying to say that we don't have people at lower rungs in various government systems who are not nourishing their value systems or who are not sticking to it? There are. You'll find peons, you'll find drivers, you'll find clerks, you'll find office assistants, you'll find everybody in systems.
Yes.
At every level, you'll have people who are honest, you have people who are not honest.
Yes.
So if somebody is honest, it is his own internal conviction, that's why he is able to stick to it.
Correct.
So it's not that difficult. I think we are unnecessarily demonizing the government as a system, that if you have to join government system, you have to be corrupt. That's not the case. If you have decided to make your both ends meet with whatever you get, and you will stick to your basic value systems, I think one can still happily live for the entire career in government and still earn a good name for having done a good job.
Yes, amazing. I think as you said, there are enough people, honest people everywhere, and it's just that their stories never come out actually. And that is why you have this notion that, you know, that so many people are not doing the right thing, because unfortunately perhaps that is, those are the stories which come out.
Yeah, my feeling is that I don't normally blame anybody for that matter, but because we keep hearing negative stories around, we tend to believe that the entire system is rotten.
Yeah.
It is not. Yeah. There are few people in the system who are trying to defame the system. Majority of them are fence sitters who, if given a choice, would like to become correct. But if somebody shows them a strong eye, they would not like to become correct.
Mm.
They would like to obey the rules. And there are bunch of people in every system who will not get corrupted whatever you may do.
Yes.
So it's a mix of all.
Yes.
But our ecosystem is such that we only talk about bad people. We don't talk about good people.
Mm.
But it doesn't make a difference.
Were there any instances in your life which were really very tough situations, like dilemmas that really actually shook you when you were trying to be on this right path? And when you really, you know, felt, Swami, where are you? You have to bail me out of this now.
Actually, not.
Okay.
There have been many instances, but the dilemma will happen only when you are having a double thought. If you have already made up your mind that this is wrong, I'm not going to do it, then matter ends.
And you're ready for any consequence.
And I'm ready for the consequences. Then you have to only have the courage to say that I will not do this. Sorry.
Yes.
Now ball is in your court. See, why should I carry that burden on my head? So if somebody asks me that, sir, you have to write this on the file because so and so has been wanting you to write this. Well, that is not correct. I will not write it. So what I have to do? I can't lose my sleep for many days whether to write, not to write, how to say no, how to...
What will happen to me?
What will happen to me and all that. Instead of all that, just remember Swami and say, we will not do it, matter ends. So I convey it to back, sorry, I will not do it. You choose what you want to do with me. And as I told you, being an Indian administrative service officer, it is not easy for you to get bullied like this. People don't bully you. If you, they know that you are not a kind of person who will accept this, you will not be put into such situations.
Correct. With time, you will, people have a lot, so much respect for you that they themselves, as you said, feel ashamed to ask you to do this.
So I have been very lucky. I have never really not been put into a corner to be able to get worried like this. It's quite a comfortable journey for that way.
I think once your foundation is very strong and you're so clear about it, then as Swami says, be clear and the rest will follow.
That's right. See, what will happen, worst that can happen to you is you lose your job. That's all. You're not going to lose your parents. You're not going to lose your family. You're not going to lose your Swami's fold, His grace. Then why worry? Why fear when I am here? That is what.
Yes.
So there have been many instances when I said, okay, quit. If it doesn't get resolved this way, I'm going to resign tomorrow.
Okay.
That's okay. I can earn my livelihood once again. I can start from scratch. I can do something else. But it doesn't go to that extent, you know. But that conviction helps.
Yes.
If you have made up your strong mind that I'm going to quit tomorrow, then automatically the situation will take a detour.
And it will not put you to that actually. He'll never bring the situation to that extent.
And again, even if that comes, I think, and some people may face that kind of situation.
Yes.
I may be luckier. I may be more, I may be having a larger grace of Swami that I didn't land up in the situation. And there are many people we hear stories about where people have to land up in the situation. Even then, I would say that as long as you have Bhagwan's grace, you have your family, your parents with you, why worry? Arey, dunya to fir se shuru ho sakti hai. It can start from scratch.
Yes.
Right?
And you never know, if you're standing for dharma, then you don't know what new door Swami will open for you.
You see, a bird, when it tries to make a nest, when almost 90% of the nest is over, a strong wind will blow over the nest. Does the bird commit suicide? It starts building the nest once again.
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah.
If you have this kind of an attitude, I think life is going to be very easy for you all the time.
You can always fly.
Always fly
and always light.
Yes.
Because you're depending on your strength. And,
absolutely.
And the strength that He has given you.
If you are clear that it is not your position that you are worried about, it is not your power that you are worried about, it is not your salary or your job that you are worried about, it is only your values and your conviction that you are worried about,
correct,
then nothing in life can actually bother you.
if you're attached only to him and not to everything that he has gifted you with.
Exactly. Everything can come and go. No issues.
Amazing. But have there been any moments when where you so palpably felt his presence?
Swami's presence has been felt almost at every major occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I am very pliable that way. I immediately run to Swami. Normally, I don't wait for him to come and remind me that, look, I am here. But yeah, there have been situations when he has reminded me that, look, you forgot. Mm-hmm. I am still around. You see, one such incident, I had gone to Washington for a course, and my wife and my small one-year-old daughter was also with me. And one evening when we were staying in Washington in a hotel, my cousin came. He said, I'll take you to some far-off place for dinner. So we went there. My daughter was very, very young. She was 1 year old. So she had to be given food and all that. And unfortunately, as it would happen, we reached that place, but we lost the path.
Oh.
So finally, when we reached, we were very late and everything was closed. So we'd gone for a restaurant, a very specialized restaurant which was closed. And in that suburban city, there was nobody on the street to tell us how to get back to main town and main highway. And my child started getting jittery. She started crying. And my wife was very worried. She said, what to do? The child is hungry. We have nothing with us. We have not been able to go to the hotel. And I was very perturbed. And my cousin was almost very nervous because he was the one who had lost the route. So there was a pub in which people were drinking and dancing inside. So music, we could hear the music outside on the street. So I said, stop the car, let me go and take a chance. So I went inside the car, bar and pub. And nobody was ready to talk because everybody were drunk and most of them were dancing. So I couldn't stop anybody and ask them for, you know, directions, naturally. So I came out. After some time, I again gathered courage. I said, no, let me try once again because there is no one else around on the street to tell me where to go. And a couple was actually walking out from that pub. And I said, excuse me, I need your help. So they looked at me and they said, oh, you are from India. And I said, yes, I'm from India. Land of Sai Baba?
Oh my God.
And they said, land of Sai Baba? And I was in shivers. I had forgotten that I should have prayed Swami by now. And then both of them, they started walking towards my car. And then I said, look, my young child is very hungry. We need to immediately go back. Kindly let us know how to go out of this place. So that lady in the couple, she said, what's the name? I said, my child's name is Vibhuti. She said, oh, Baba's Vibhuti. So I said, yes, it is Baba's Vibhuti. Kindly tell us the way. And believe me, they drove us. They said, just follow our car. And they almost drove it to the national highway, the state highway. And immediately after reaching highway, they just waved and they just vanished in one direction. And then we were back on the track. I can never forget that because
my God.
When I had forgotten everything else, I forgot Swami also. And then Swami suddenly reminded us, you forgot me, but I don't forget you.
I never forget you.
Yeah. So, wow. So there are numerous such incidents.
I mean, when you think about it, someone saying, land of Sai Baba? You are from the land of Sai Baba?
Yes.
In a foreign land like that and in a place where no one is there.
Yes.
Amazing. Amazing. I think there are so many occasions like that. I think when we look at our life, every day there are so many moments when he's actually carrying us. We don't even know that he's doing that for us.
Yes, absolutely yes. You are right.
Yeah.
In fact, the very breath that we take is because of him.
Yes, yes.
We have to just remember it.
Yes, but only sometimes he does certain things like this. You know, I compare it with the Lingodvam. You know, these are the Lingodvam moments of our life.
Yes,
when you really see visibly a very fantastic manifestation of his presence, and you're shaken to, oh my God, do I realize in whose presence I am? But otherwise, I think all the time he's there.
All the time he's there.
He's there. Amazing. And you, if you have to continue the conversation on our conviction in Bhagwan, you know, in your talk you mentioned that initially, even though you had this strong faith in Bhagwan and you always believed in his teachings, still when you joined the government service, public service, you had this tendency to hide your association with Bhagwan. You thought, you know, that might not work to your advantage, or someone might question about your devotion to Bhagwan. And so it was always, you were on the back foot when it came to your association with Bhagwan. But later on, you said you became very open about it, very confident about it, very cool about it. So how did this transformation happen?
Well, I always used to put vibhuti on my forehead.
Okay.
So that itself was a matter of great amusement to my colleagues. Because even in my training in Mussoorie, when I used to put vibhuti, everybody would look at me and, you know, either pass a comment or just make fun of me, that here comes some devotee of some lord, kind of, you know,
yeah,
that stuff. Because in our modern world, the sign of modernity is to be less spiritual.
Yes.
And more so, at least you should not appear to be spiritual, even if you are spiritual in the core.
Yeah, it should be something very private.
Very private. So, initially, yes, it used to be a little awkward. But after coming to service also, I used to come to Puttaparthi in world conferences, youth conferences. So, gradually I decided that, see, Swami is for me and I am his devotee. So, if I am going to keep a picture of his in my room, this is not going to be a problem to anybody else. And if it's a problem, it's their problem, it's not my problem. So I keep a picture of Swami. This is not to flaunt, this is not to, you know, tell everybody else who's coming to my room that you pray to my Lord. But there is no harm in telling everybody that I pray to this Lord.
Yes.
And this is what is my God. That's all. That's the only thing I do. But the miracles that happen after that are phenomenal. Because anybody who enters your room, if he looks at Swami's photo, so either he reveals to me that I have also been to Puttaparthi, or my uncle or aunt is also Sai devotee, something of that kind, or they would smile and they would at least know that I am a God-fearing man and I have a God here sitting in my room whom I revere.
Yes.
That itself is a big statement.
Correct.
So, what's wrong in making a statement that I am a God-fearing man and I have respect for my Lord? There is nothing wrong in it. It helps.
It helps, actually.
Yeah. See, if it is fashionable to show around that I am not, you know, a believer of God, it should be fashionable also to declare that I am a believer of God.
Yes.
Why can't this be a fashion?
Exactly. In fact, that's what I used to feel it many times, that, you know, it should be fashionable for us to live his teachings. Because, you know, because that gives a kick to us.
Absolutely, yes. And again, the bottom line is, am I doing something wrong?
Yeah.
I'm not doing something wrong. I'm only saying that I believe in this God.
Yeah.
What's wrong in that?
Yeah.
If you don't believe, that's your problem. Fine.
As Bhagwan used to say.
We are not going to argue on this subject.
Correct. Yeah.
But I have a right to, to make my statement.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And as you very rightly said, I think the messages that go out actually work to your advantage.
Absolutely, yes. You see, the moment you make a statement, you put Swami's picture in your room, or you put Vibhuti very strongly. These days, of course, I have also started putting some bhajans or some music at the background. The person who enters your room, you know, he gets conditioned.
Yes.
80% of his negativity is already neutralized.
So he cannot think about saying or doing anything.
Exactly, exactly. So if he has come up with some bad intention or to say something negative, he will have to muster 100% more courage to be able to overcome all this and still say this. So you are making situation conducive to yourself.
You are only encouraging the goodness in him.
Absolutely. So I think, therefore, we need to be bold in our statements.
Yes.
You know, a couple of years back when we had not banned smoking in India, people who used to smoke, and I have nothing personal against people who smoke, because every human being is a good human being.
Yes.
And many of my very good friends who smoke are perfect and fine human beings, so I love them. But as a matter of fact, we know that as a habit, smoking is a bad habit.
Yeah.
But you know that all the TV advertisements and movies and all, anybody who smokes is considered to be a hero. And by corollary, if you're not smoking, you're a dump. Right? This is how the perception goes. That's how, as a child, we look at and wow, I mean, what a great hero. I mean,
hey, someone who's lost, you know, missed all the fun in life.
Yeah, and, yeah. And somebody smoking, he's a macho man, you know, yeah. That kind of an image used to be created.
Yeah.
But now we have a law where smoking in public is banned. And now I am more courageous. If somebody smokes, I stare at him and the person suddenly feels guilty. And he tries to hide his cigarette and he goes and tries to, you know, avoid smoking in public. So it's just a question of perception.
Yes.
So I am saying that I believe in my Lord and I am displaying it. Why am I shy about it?
Yes.
So this is the difference. I think we need to be very clear about it.
And I think with generally happens that I've seen with youngsters, initially they think it's a weakness, but later on, as you very beautifully have also experienced, it becomes actually your strength in unimaginable ways.
Absolutely. It's a great strength.
It's a great strength.
It's a great strength, and if you believe it, then it can work for your advantage at every step.
Yes.
It becomes your shield, in fact.
Becomes your shield. Wow. Amazing.